Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello. And welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. I'm going to ignore, by the way, your attempts to sabotage the opening of
the show.
Well,
that's exactly what you're not doing.
Well, I just, yeah, you're
from
right.
From now on.
Right. But last week you tried to do it and you might remember, you probably don't, I did just carry on regardless.
Right.
Now you're right. Now I'm making a point of it.
Big point.
Yeah, too much. if I'm trying to ignore it, this is a failure. Epic
really
fail.
Bad.
But I know what you're
the
doing.
Opposite of what
I know what you're doing around the hello and it's not going to work from now on.
Right, it's pretty obvious. I want you to know what I'm doing because it wouldn't work if you didn't. So that.
I'm just ignoring it now.
Right.
Hi.
Yeah, you've done really
and
well.
Welcome to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. It's me, David.
And me, Tim. We don't normally do this bit, do we? It's me.
We do. Tim this Hinks. Is what this is often where it goes awry.
Okay.
The
I don't
thing.
Think we normally introduce. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, don't worry.
I know we've agreed we're going to say something, but can I just say something we haven't agreed?
Okay.
Just because it's on my mind and I won't remember it.
Yeah.
Which is unusual. I've driven here today, as you
yeah,
know, because
you saw
me.
Yeah, you weren't on your bike.
I wasn't on my bike. I was in the car, which meant that I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to The World at One, which is a flagship.
Radio 4 programme.
Radio 4 programme. So very much the heart of the BBC and everything it stands for.
Yeah.
And I was interested that they were talking about Brexit, and they had a guy on who worked for a sort of business person for a bed manufacturer. I actually can't remember the name of the bed manufacturer.
Slightly losing the will to live with this story, but fine.
What he was introduced as, this is Colin...
The bed manufacturer.
Davis, who manufactures luxury beds.
Right.
And I thought, you know, in that way you can't say, oh, my favourite crisps are Golden Wonder on the bed. You have to have impartiality on the BBC.
Yeah.
I wondered if, is that a category, luxury beds? Or is that something, as a bed maker, you'd like to say, we make luxury beds and that probably charge more for them. Is that a recognised, non-partisan thing, a luxury
bed? What
do
you mean, you think it might have been a trade bed, a trademark bed? It might have been Slumberland. But they were unable to say that on the BBC. So I don't know if Slumberland are luxury
beds.
No, it was
a family...
But they weren't able to say Slumberland, so they just said luxury beds.
I suppose what I'm trying to get at, is there a line between that, an unbroken line, and saying, here's David who makes delicious lemonade? And you think, well, that's not really a BBC con- that's not a thing the BBC should comment on.
Oh,
they should just say he makes lemonade. And, he's, and she's
that's
saying
the complication of the word
beds.
Luxury, isn't it?
Is luxury a value?
Is luxury a value judgment, yeah. Or is it an actual description of a type of bed?
Yeah.
I would say it's sort of a bit of both, although actually I don't know when I say that. Like, well, if the bed, for example, had an inbuilt electric blanket, then you could say, well, clearly this is a luxury bed because this is something that normal beds don't have.
Yeah. I don't think that was... I think he was just a normal bed manufacturer, and I suspect he says, we make luxury beds.
And they just went with it.
And they just went with it, and I just wonder if that was a mistake. I'm actually seeing the Director General...
It's sort of an advert for him, isn't it?
That's what I'm getting at, and I am seeing it.
If they'd said, what's his name? We don't know, Colin Davis.
He's not Colin Davis.
No, if Colin Davis is a famous conductor. But if you said, this is Colin Davis... And his company makes amazing beds.
Yeah, that,
then
right.
They would clearly be in breach of BBC regulations.
Yeah, that
but
feels
somehow
wrong.
Luxury isn't.
That's what I mean. And it sounds like a category, doesn't it? We make normal beds. We decided not to make luxury beds. We just make beds. Oh well, I'd love to have a look anyway.
Yeah,
it feels like.
Yeah. Well, no, but you're saying I think that Colin, not his real name, somehow sort of slid this in. It's sort of a bit of sleight of hand, yeah. Colin's thing.
But she
said, look, we're going to interview you about Brexit. We just know what you do. And he said, oh, I make luxury beds, and they just went with it, and he thought, that's great. Now people will come to me for essentially great beds.
Because
really, it does overlap with great.
And he's, as you say, he slipped in luxury beds, and then most of the time, the presenter, I think it's Sarah Montague, is talking, saying, right, have we got Lord Howard on at 3? Okay, we've got that. And someone's saying, have you got all the details? Oh, yeah, no, don't worry about that, I've got them. She's not thinking about it.
Yeah.
But actually, he's, as you say, slipped in a partisan, you know, BBC-approved beds, in effect.
Yeah. The BBC are allowed to make value judgments, aren't they? But if you're not directly a product. So, for example, on Strictly Come Dancing,
right,
if someone says... Bill Bailey, he's a hilariously funny man and an amazing dancer. Mm. Here he is.
Right.
That's just an intro for Bill Bailey.
Yeah.
Right. No one's going to say, well, that breaches the BBC regulations. Other comedians who are great dancers are available. They haven't said that. They don't have to do that.
No, but I think on the news, World at One, impartiality is sacrosanct.
Yeah.
So you definitely wouldn't say, we're talking about Brexit with the person, his name is David Jarvis, head of Walls Ice Cream, who make delicious Magnums. They're my favourite. And David, what do you think about the tariffs?
No, you wouldn't say that.
Right,
that's
and
true.
I think he's a
bed
manufacturer.
You might say, if they make Magnums, who make luxury ice cream?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. So what would luxury ice cream be?
Magnums.
Right, but is it? There's a tub of vanilla. That's
ice definitely
cream.
Not luxury. If it's just a standard Asda, like, tub of vanilla... That's definitely not luxury.
It's not luxury. Yeah. But put some walnuts and some whipped cream on it.
I think salted caramel.
But it begs the point.
Luxury is a strange word. I'll be honest with you. Occasionally, I do what my daughter calls a depression shop, by which she means I'm on Sainsbury's online, and I don't really know what to buy. I feel a bit depressed. Mm. I just start ordering stuff that I think will cheer me up.
Right, okay.
And that really means that I just order stuff that's like in their sort of nicer ranges.
Yeah.
And the word I put in to get that sometimes is luxury. I just like search Sainsbury's luxury. And well, it will come up.
If only they sold beds.
Like about 70 things will come up as their luxury range. Yeah. I tell you what, about half of them are cat food. It's true, yeah. If you put luxury into any supermarket thing, about half the things that will come up is cat food, which says something about our relationship to cats.
It does, and I also think they are very careful, those supermarkets, aren't they? When they thought about the names for the taste of the differences, they had to make sure it didn't sound like they were saying everything else is shit.
Yes.
And so so taste the difference is quite sort of, you know, you can taste the difference. I mean, you don't have to, it's
but
not a big thing.
Some of the others have, like, isn't Tesco
finest? But I don't know which one of them.
No, Tesco is finest.
Right.
You're right. Taste the difference is very carefully chosen to say it's not necessarily better.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean everything else is rubbish, but there is a difference.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas finest says everything else is rubbish.
Yeah, it does seem to. What are the other ones? Are there other ones?
I think best.
Best.
Brilliant. Waitrose brilliant range. Waitrose much better range.
I suppose what they don't do. And they'll teach this on marketing courses. They don't call the normal stuff something.
Yeah.
They call the luxury stuff.
Well, I've also thought that with basics.
Oh, that's true. I never do. I'm wrong.
In fact, I did a bit in my Trolls show.
They do.
Which I've taken out since, but it got a big laugh, but I didn't feel like it quite fitted. But it was a thing that I noticed, which is, I think Sainsbury's, their mineral water range is in a big basics bottle, and its slogan is, definitely not from the tap. I think the lady doth protest too much there, don't you think?
Right.
Because no one mentioned the tap. Why are you bringing it up?
Yeah.
And all you think is, well, it might be now.
But it, or is that a slightly jokey, corporate jokey, like Ben and Jerry, you know, a bit like... Mm. Or like those awful smoothies that have sort of jokes about what's inside. Is it sort of not from the tap? Is that sort of...
It didn't feel like a gag. Mm. It's not like got sort of funny bits, funny graphics around. It just says definitely not from the tap, like someone had once accused it of being from the tap.
Mm.
But also, my point is basics, Sainsbury's basics, is the opposite of what you're saying, which is that it slightly implies that this is shit.
Yes.
Because everything else is not quite so basic. At the same time, they must have done market research to show that if you don't want to spend a lot of money, you're very happy with basics, even though its other way of saying that is it's a bit shit. By the way, I'd like to say that when you started saying this I was going to say any second now, I'm going to say the main issue here is that I'm amazed that you thought this was worth talking about rather than the thing were going to talk about. But I can't say that now because it's absolutely invigorated me and engaged me in every
way. But also it's made me think, what's the most someone's ever laughed at a packaging that's deliberately tried to be funny? Do you think it's ever got a laugh?
I had someone who worked for me once, very lovely woman in every way, but she didn't have what I would consider to be like my normal levels of irony.
Okay.
She was sort of a very unironic person.
Okay.
And we were once having some Pringles, me and her, and we ate quite a lot of them. And
I know you do know.
Okay, so we discussed. She said, it's true what they say.
Yeah.
Once you pop, you can't stop. And as Jonathan Ross, who I told that story to, said, he'd never heard that said in the wild.
Yeah.
By which he means unironically. Have we discussed this?
We have, but it's worth it. It's definitely on the greatest hits album.
Yeah, it's on the greatest hits album. It is impossible for most people to say, once you pop, you can't stop.
And she really meant that.
No, she actually meant it. It's true what they say. It's very hard for me to do, to really capture her absolute neutrality in saying it, with no spin at all.
What would she
say? True what they say, once you pop, you can't stop. I've started laughing. So,
but, I mean, it's partly funny because it's true. I mean, there is a truth there.
It is true.
There's getting
saying
at something.
Saying a rhyme.
Yeah.
Saying a rhyme as if it's just a truism.
You're better off, in that situation, you're better off saying it's impossible to stop eating these.
Yeah, but you can't say, it's true, isn't it? You can't stop eating these because you think like that's not what they say on the Pringles advert.
No, but it's not helpful to say once you've popped you can't stop. When what you really mean is that's a marketing slogan. Forget that. I just think these things are so Moorish.
Yes, but
and then it allows you to say.
You're forgetting is that she proceeded the whole thing with it's true what they say. Now what you've just said, no one says particularly. Oh. Whereas clearly Pringles do say. Once you pop, you can't stop. They do say
but also,
it.
If you take away the humour and the, you know, or whatever we would call it, the sort of slightly chilling thing about what she's saying is she's seriously, I think the thing that stands out most, she's seriously saying the word for opening a packet is popped. Because that's what they mean.
Yeah. So but she's totally bought Pringles' whole brand. As think of it as popping.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. She's totally bought that.
If you're really serious, you go, once you've opened it.
Yeah.
Well, not even, you know, it doesn't matter about opening it, is it? It's just they're just Moorish.
Yes, in fact, it's not true that once you pop, you can't stop.
No.
Once you've started eating them, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Because you could pop it and then think, oh, I have to go answer the phone now. I'll eat those Pringles later. Right, so there's a delivery
of luxury cat food at the door.
Let's be honest.
I've got to go.
It suggests the popping might be irrelevant, except for the rhyme.
Yeah,
it's good possible
point.
They only did it for the rhyme with stop. Anyway, can I stop
only
now?
If you answer one question, we'll move on.
All right.
Just finishing off on beds, because
this
is what I had in my head when I realised that halfway through our conversation. Have you ever been in a room I suppose that is the question. Where
yes, I have.
Really? Yeah. What is that like?
I am now.
I suppose I am now, I think about it. Where they've had one of those Laurel and Hardy beds that come down from the wall.
Oh.
Because that's what Laurel and Hardy had in every...
Yes. Well, actually, as it happens, I am...
Have you been in one of those?
I'm thinking about buying an office at the moment for me to go and work in. And I'm going to buy like a one-bedroom / studio flat somewhere and use it as an office. And one of the places I've looked at, I spoke to a designer who said, why don't you have one of those beds? And I did think...
Did he say Laurel and Hardy?
He didn't say Laurel and Hardy. In fact, he didn't say any of it. But I did think, I've only seen those in films.
Yeah.
I didn't think Laurel and Hardy. I thought American sort of 50s and 60s films, something like... the apartment or something like that.
I'm sure that's true. But Lauren Hardy, the thing was always the joke. You'd be in the bed and it would flip back up to the wall.
Yeah.
And then someone would come in and you weren't in there. And then, wasn't that?
Yeah. And then it would come back down again and Oliver Hardy would be just real rumpled and looking at the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I should get one just for that.
Yeah.
Just to do that. I mean, it would be interesting if the luxury bed maker who was interviewed on The World at One, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wouldn't call that luxury. Well, I would call that comedy.
He might.
I would say Colin Davis was the maker of comedy beds. Again, that's possibly a value judgment.
But he might say, well, it is luxury because when it goes back up, there's a layer of...
feather down.
I was going to say whipped cream.
Why were you going to say that?
You eat. No, like something luxurious.
Right, as in like Sainsbury's finest.
Yeah, and then when you finest. So that when you come back
it's
down
actually,
again.
It's whipped cream. It's actually Taste the Difference range, not basics. Can we please get on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to mention David Bowie.
Oh, right.
I mean, the last podcast, last few podcasts, I think because of my new thing of like Bowie news.
Yeah.
Have gone back to being quite Bowie. I mean,
yeah,
I mean
Bowie
this one,
mentioned.
So far not so much.
Mm.
But generally,
not, but
they've gone very Bowie-centric again. But I watched all, I think virtually the whole thing, on really quite late at night. He was in, I think, Perth or something, somewhere in Australia,
right.
And it was a whole film.
Was it not Serious Moonlight before
Serious
that?
Moonlight. Yeah. The Serious Moonlight tour, it was 1983 or something.
Yeah.
And that would definitely have been at the time, I would have lost interest in Bowie at the time. At the time, I would have thought, this is Bowie selling out. Look at him, he's in a suit, he's got bleached blonde hair, he's tanned. Watching it now, I thought, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got something from around that time.
Okay, good.
This is a I'd never seen this before. It's on Instagram. Bowie put it on Instagram. Well, I don't think Bowie put it on Instagram, unless he was amazing at sorting all that out in advance. And
is it an official David Bowie account?
I think so.
Okay.
That's a good,
I mean, I wouldn't put
it
past David
Bowie.
It's
a good question.
Who, as we know, was incredibly internet savvy ahead of his time. To have lined up some internet posts to carry on after he was dead.
Let me just check. That's a really good point as to whether it's officially sanctioned. I'll come back to you on that. This is him on stage. I'm pretty sure it's Serious Moonlight. So, from memory, this has a couple of things in it that we've celebrated about Bowie. It's really about his storytelling. And there's two extraordinarily badly delivered punchlines.
Okay.
That, you know, are so land so badly. And then there's a terrible accent. I mean, there's so much in it. It's quite a short clip. But what it's
isn't
about...
there so much in it also a slogan for something from
that
the supermarket?
That is the TV Times.
Yes, there's so much in it, the TV Times. Yeah, I wonder if everyone said that. Like my nanny, it was my
nanny. Oh, about the TV Times.
Said like simply that my nanny said, once you pop, you can't stop, completely seriously.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever leafed through the TV Times and said, there's actually so much in it.
What do you think they are trying to address by saying that? Yeah. What are people just saying there's not much in it? Because what else do you want?
Also, it's sort of quantity, isn't it? It's like not a badge of quality. It just says there's a lot of stuff in the TV Times.
Was the Radio Times at one point BBC and TV Times was ITV? Is that not right?
Oh, God, yeah. But don't pretend to be younger than you are. That was always the way when we were growing. In fact, I don't know that it's different. Is it different?
No, wait a minute.
Is it different now?
TV Times
it
has
always
to be...
used to be TV Times was ITV and Radio Times.
Well, only that's all they had in it? TV Times had ITV programmes in it.
I don't know. I mean, in my mind, it did.
I mean,
that can't be the case. But in my mind, TV Times was the ITV listings, which, when I was growing up, was just ITV. There's no Channel 4. So there wasn't that much in it, if that was right.
But that's what I'm thinking.
It would have been a spreadsheet.
Is that what they were saying? That it doesn't have all the BBC stuff, but there's still loads in it.
Of other stuff.
There's like Ulster TV in it and sort of whatever the ITV companies.
I think there were sort of interviews.
But can that be true that they only... Yes, they only had the rights to...
I think they led. Surely they just led with ITV in the TV.
I don't know.
I think, you know, you can find BBC listings in here after everything that's in it.
We wouldn't want to because there's so much other stuff to get through.
You'll be exhausted by the time you've read everything else in it. But because I presume the Radio Times did have ITV in it.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I don't know. My grandparents used to have a big leather binder that they put the Radio Times in.
Did they?
Yeah, that was a bit of a thing for sort of aspirant families.
Why would you go back to look at old... Oh, you mean...
No, not
an archive.
Copy. They would get their copy of the Radio Times and put it in a leather binder that you would open and think, this makes reading what's on TV like I'm reading an enormous book by a fireside at the start.
I mean, this is a bit sort of BBC Two I Love Christmas, so I'm worried about saying this, but... I certainly remember the Radio Times, I think the Radio Times, during Christmas, having Christmas puddings and stuff on the top of the, maybe they still do, on the top of the listings and feeling like when you get the next edition, it doesn't have them. That's, there's a sort of death and a grieving.
Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah, over definitely. That. Well, that's the same with all Christmas, isn't it?
I mean, my wife's
Christmassy
brother...
Christmassy things have an inbuilt sort of half-life in them, which is like, as soon as you see them after Christmas, it's incredibly sort of hollow and
yes.
awful.
But I wonder if that divides people in the sense that some people feel... Like, so I think I'm a bit glass half empty. It's just weird that you were drinking a glass of water as I said that.
It's half full.
Well,
or
is it?
Is it half empty?
Like, you know the white spray you put in shops when we used to have shops?
Yeah.
I look at that, and when it goes on, I think that's just... All I can think about is what that looks like in January. And it's, it's just, I'd rather you didn't do it at
all. Although my brother, he used to work in a place in Santa Monica during his like year off called the Incredible Christmas Store, where it was Christmas all year round.
Well, it wasn't. But
well, exactly. I always thought, well, what happens at Christmas? Does it explode?
Just another day.
No, I know. It's someone takes the magic out of Christmas. That you go there in February and it's the same shop.
But also, that's so interesting, isn't it? That that shop, of all the places you'd think you'd go to, that would be the place that most undermines Christmas. And
yes,
makes it feel,
and that, perhaps that's why they employed a Jew.
Oh, I see. Why?
That's part of their overall process of undermining Christmas.
Oh, I see.
Ivor is Jewish. I don't know if you're clear. He's my partner.
Him as well.
It's ridiculous. They stick together.
Jesus.
Look, can you just play me what you're going to play me? Because we've been all over the place with this.
I want you to listen to this.
Okay.
Bo. This centres around the fact that 40 years ago yesterday, John Lennon was shot.
Yes.
And died.
Yes.
And
at the time of recording, obviously we'll
the time
we'll
of recording,
go out later.
He's dead.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely still dead.
Bowie, at a certain point, I think Serious Moonlight, performed Fame, and then after Fame, he performed it on the day that John Lennon was shot. I mean, some years later. Well, not that many years
later. Not that
later.
Many years
no,
later.
Three years later or something.
Yeah.
And he talks about John. And, well, I think it can speak for itself, but
okay,
there are...
let's have a listen.
Let's enjoy the two terrible punch... I mean, there's so much to pick at here. I think you're going to enjoy it.
I co-wrote that song with John Lennon. I asked John one day, how do you write your songs? He said, it's easy, you just say what you mean, you put a backbeat to it. I said, what do you think of my kind of rock and roll? He said, it's great, but it's just rock and roll with lipstick on.
So the first thing is to think... Is to listen to the crap. Is that what the sort of reaction
so the first
you'd
issue,
want?
The first issue is...
Well, there's lots of issues there, aren't there? There's the accent.
The main issue is the accent. It's like, it's quite a good example of David, who we discussed many times, I think, thought I could have been a comedian.
Yeah.
Thinking, this will show them
that
I could have been.
Yeah.
This is just one of many stories I can tell. And he's wrong about that. And one of the ways he's wrong about that is the absolute confidence with which he does a Scouse accent.
Yeah.
Doesn't he do some impressions actually on Parkinson?
That song with John Lennon.
The crowd noise
doing an impression, by the way, of David Bowie.
What's that?
That voice. It's like like a really like
he's sitting on.
It's like David Bowie absurd version of David Bowie voice.
The lipstick quote. That's a terrible reaction.
It's a terrible reaction.
He now tells another.
Last time I saw John Lennon was in Hong Kong.
This is a completely weird story.
Went to Hong Kong market. And there was a stall that sold old clothes, and there was a beetle jacket on the stall. And I did something that's not usually in my character. I asked him to put it on so that I could take a photograph. I took a photograph. I've still got the photograph. The jacket doesn't fit properly. It looks like John had outgrown it.
that is not a story.
It's not a story. Like, it looks like John has outgrown it. Utter silence, understandably, because it's not a punchline.
Yeah,
he gets into a little vortex.
Well, actually,
of,
I don't think that's meant to be a funny story.
No, I think
it's meant to be
poignant.
A metaphorical story. It's a Beatles jacket.
Yeah,
it looked like John had outgrown.
Yeah, but
so
it's told like a punchline.
It's told like a punchline. I also would say in a slight, it's quite David Brenty.
Yeah,
because I think he's thinking people will understand what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
I'm saying something quite significant and it's really meaningful. Yeah. And really, there's just some screaming people.
No, who just...
In a, where is it? In a Japanese audience?
It's obviously in an arena. I don't know if it's Japanese. Why should you say Japanese?
Because for some reason, because he said Hong Kong, which is China.
See. Which is Chinese.
Which is China. And not China. Is it China? Anyway.
Yes. So...
Does it say where he is? I mean,
it says live in Hong Kong.
Live in Hong Kong. So at least he is talking about Hong Kong, and that makes sense.
The other thing that
one thing I would say about Bowie is there's no question is we could do almost this entire podcast on his in-song banter, which is without fail terrible.
Awful. If that's what we judged artists on, we would not be here now talking about him, would we?
No, I mean, really, But actually, lots of artists don't do in song banter, between song banter.
No.
You know, particularly, you know, if they're not sort of in Vegas.
Right.
And it's not like Try the Fish. You know what I mean? Most sort of rock stars,
yes,
they might say, you know, Hello Berlin or whatever, but they don't tend to do a lot of chat.
Only if they're in Berlin.
Yeah, that's true. But Bowie clearly thought, no, I'm good at in song, between song banter. Yeah. And he was wrong.
No, he felt he was part of that tradition, I think, of, as you know, sort of the... I think the other thing about that little bit of the snippet, there's one more to come, where he does get, I think, some sort of laugh, but it's for something not funny at all. In fact, it's about the killing of John Lennon. So really, see what you think. But the only other thing I was going to say...
I would say what John Lennon says is good.
What?
It's like, it's rock and roll, but just with lipstick on.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
That's good.
Yeah, and there's a lot to get your teeth in. The other thing is, if you, in that particular bit there, he says that they were in this market, and he says, I did something quite out of character.
Yeah.
I asked him to put it on. I'm thinking, what is the thing you're... out of character, asking people to put things on?
When David Bowie says, I did something out of character, a little part of me thinks, what character?
That's what I mean.
Is that one of your characters that you were out of character from? So Halloween Jack would never have asked John Lennon to do that. But maybe the Thin White Duke, who was interested in clothes more, might have done.
The Thin White Duke would go, could you put that jacket on? And then you'd put it on and says, I'm bored now.
Is that Thin White Duke or John Lennon?
That's John Lennon, isn't it? What does the Thin White Duke sound like?
Well, he doesn't really sound like anything. He just sings.
Oh, I'm the Thin White Duke. No,
what
is that? I'm trying to do Bowie. I'm trying to do the sort of
people do with David Bowie.
But it's very out of character for him to ask someone to try
Major
something
Tom
on.
Major Tom wouldn't have said that because he wouldn't have like.
Also, I don't think that's a character trait. Asking people to try things on.
To be fair to David, I'm going to stick up for David here. I think what he's saying is what was out of character for me was being a fan.
Bit starstruck
to John Lennon. I wouldn't normally, even though clearly he was a massive fan of John Lennon because the Beatles were massive when he wasn't famous, but I wouldn't normally have asked John Lennon to pose in something, take a photo of him. Can you try this Beatles jacket on? Where is that photo? I'd love to see that photo.
Yeah. It's not that good because the jacket doesn't fit.
Well, that's the other thing about it, which is he's trying to make a big metaphorical statement about he'd outgrown it. Like, he wasn't in the Beatles anymore. What was I thinking of?
Yeah.
But another part of me is just thinking, John thinking, I feel really, that is too tight.
But do you think that's really what happens? Yeah. Bowie was like, that looks good. He says, no, I don't want it. And he said, I'll buy it for you. He said, it doesn't fit.
It really doesn't fit.
And Bowie's thinking, it does fit. Actually, it was just really...
No, I think it was just generally too tight. But David really wanted to make this little statement about, I've got a photo of you in a Beatles jacket and you've outgrown it. And do you know what I'm saying? And he's like, well, no, but it's really tight.
Maybe
I can't breathe properly because the buttons. Can I just take it off?
Or maybe he's left out the bit where John says, do you have it in a medium? And the guy's, oh, I'm very sorry, I don't have it. And that would get just as big a laugh, maybe bigger.
I think it'd get a very big laugh if he'd have said he'd outgrown it. So he asked for it in the medium and it was there. He got it there and it was perfect. Exactly. It absolutely fit perfectly.
Well, the final bit of this, I can't fast forward.
This is all from the same gig.
On this day, December the 8th, 1980, John Lennon was shot and killed outside of his New York apartment.
Cheers for that.
Cheers. Is that it?
that seems to be it, yeah. But that is a reaction you get, yeah. I think that's all he says.
Cheers are a bit odd.
I think that's
Well, maybe he was about to play Fame.
He just played it.
Oh, he just played it?
He just played it.
Wouldn't you do that stuff before you played it?
I think you'd say he was shot dead before all the other stuff as well.
Well, the whole thing should have been like, and now here's my in-between song John Lennon banter.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit it. That wasn't very good.
Not playing Fame.
That wasn't very good. But hit it, Niles, and then Fame starts, you know.
Yeah. Well, as we said, his banter was poor.
Yeah.
But he was the last person to acknowledge that, and that is a brilliant example of...
When you say he was the last person to acknowledge it...
Do you think he even meant...
I think he did acknowledge it. That suggests he did eventually acknowledge it.
He never acknowledged... Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't the last person.
We don't know what he said.
A lot of people acknowledged it, and eventually David said, all right, my banter was shit.
We don't know what he said on his deathbed, do we? He could have said...
it's been an interesting life, but I wish my in-between song banter had been better.
Banter. Yeah. And you'd say, well, I liked it. No, have a listen to the thing about the jacket. Go back, find that, the jacket.
That is shit.
That was awful.
Yeah.
I think
on his deathbed, he might say, well, that's 4 minutes. I'll never get back.
And then he'd say, well, there was another occasion when I did a thing about John, also about John Lennon, about the lipstick. And you say, oh, David, that was actually the same. That was actually in the same bit. Both at the same. I mean, that really.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm a lot of stuff is coming to me now of self-awareness. But the one thing that's really sticking out as revealing itself to me is I can't do a Liverpudlian accent.
Tell me I didn't do one. Did I try one on that? No, I'm sure you didn't.
Oh, space gobbles. So we'll end on that one, shall we, Tim?
We're going to end on that one.
Yeah.
And do another one.
See you then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.